Hello, Bethel. We're back with another Matthew Bible Study podcast. Today, we're looking at Matthew chapter 19. We're looking at the first 12 verses of Matthew 19, and there are two sections in this text under consideration today. The primary section is about marriage and divorce, and you'll see in your Bible that that runs from verses 3 to 12. And please don't avoid the teaching, even if divorce is a painful memory for you, or something that someone in your family is currently going through. We as followers of Christ, we as those who love God's law, need to have a biblical understanding of marriage and divorce. But first, verses 1 and 2 in this text deal with something different. Verse 1 says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, that was the teaching about the parable of forgiveness that we studied in our last session, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea, to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them. Here, the Lord Jesus leaves Galilee, the region to the north, and he's here leaving Galilee for the last time. He's heading over the next week or weeks to Jerusalem. And you'll look ahead in your Bible to chapter 21, and that's when Jesus arrives in Jerusalem. So we're in the final weeks of his life here. He's traveling on the east side of the Jordan River. It was common for Jewish people when moving from Galilee in the north down to Judea in the south to move along one bank or the other of the Jordan to go around the Samaritan land where they knew that they would be hated and might even be detained. And they could be detained because the crowds were getting larger of Jewish people from the north moving to the south. Jews from Galilee and beyond in the Mediterranean world, Asia Minor, Greece and Macedonia, and other points including Italy, were heading down to Jerusalem in the spring of the year for Passover. It was a little bit like our Christmas season, except for this year, when at that time, Jewish people wanted to head home for Passover, specifically to the holy city. We know that Jesus performed many miracles. The Gospels record approximately 35 or so. But there are, I think, something like 10 other occasions where the text simply says that he performed many miracles, maybe even scores or hundreds of miracles. And you can understand why large crowds followed him in verse 2, because it goes on to say, he healed them there. Then when we get to verse 3, the tone changes. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? You'll notice that their purpose, as is usual when the Pharisees are talking to the Lord Jesus, their purpose is not to learn. Their purpose is not to engage in constructive debate. Their purpose is simply to test him, to trip him up, to set a trap, to direct him into a minefield. And let me give you a little bit of background as to a few angles in the minefield that they are trying to direct the Lord Jesus into. Because the first one is this. John the Baptist was imprisoned and ultimately beheaded by Herod Antipas. You'll recall that. We studied it back in chapter 14. Antipas was the son of Herod the Great. And Antipas imprisoned John because John got into Herod's face about his remarriage after his own divorce because he remarried his brother Philip's wife. Her name was Herodias, and she was a piece of work, probably a New Testament version of Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, that wicked Old Testament king of Israel. So Jesus here making a pronouncement on marriage and divorce and remarriage could cause him to meet a similar fate, if critical or judgmental, and word got back to Herod. You have to wonder if that's what the Pharisees hoped for when they tried to entice Jesus with this debate trap. Secondly, it's also significant that cultural and religious debate in Israel at the time, particularly among the Jewish elite, the Pharisees, the rabbis, the teachers of the law, the priesthood, was on the issue of marriage. And whatever they talked about would eventually trickle down into the Jewish culture, into the culture of the common people. Here, the issue was what constituted proper divorce. In the law of Moses, in Deuteronomy chapter 24, the first verse says this: if a man marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her, and sends her from his house. And the text goes on to explain that he can never remarry that woman, that divorce was final, that divorce was something that was very serious. But what made the discussion of marriage and divorce so topical at the time of the Lord Jesus was this: two prominent rabbis had made pronouncements, and many of the Jewish elite lined up behind either one or the other. The debate on marriage in the early first century hinged on two concepts in the verse that we just read from Deuteronomy, from the law of Moses. What was displeasing to the husband? How could you define that? And number two, what constituted something indecent in her, something indecent in the wife that would trigger the divorce? Hillel was a famous rabbi, and he died about 10 or 20 years before the death of Christ. We don't know for sure. His most famous student was Gamaliel, and we encounter him in Acts chapter 5. And Gamaliel's most famous student was Saul of Tarsus, better known as the Apostle Paul. Hillel was a liberal. He was considered broad-minded. He was thought of as being progressive, at least by the men, because he said that a man, and this was a very patriarchal, a male-dominant culture, Hillel said that a man could divorce his wife for almost any reason, that something indecent, something displeasing, could run all the way from him being embarrassed and shamed or dishonored, or almost anything else that he saw as displeasing about his wife. That could trigger him giving her a certificate of divorce and terminating the marriage. The second rabbi was a rabbi by the name of Shammai. He said that a man could divorce his wife only for reasons of sexual unfaithfulness, which in his mind generally meant adultery. So we've got Hillel and the liberals on one side, you've got Shammai and the conservatives on the other. And the question is being put to the Lord Jesus: which one would he choose? Because whatever he chooses, he's probably going to offend Herod, and he's going to offend many of the Jewish people. But notice the response that the Lord Jesus chose, because he goes back before Hillel, back before Shammai, and even back before Moses. Verse 4. Haven't you read, Jesus replied, that at the beginning, notice that, at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. Here, the Lord Jesus quotes from Genesis 1 about God's distinct creation of male and female. And by the way, that's something to keep in mind with all the talk in our day as to whether men and women really are different, and about the whole discussion on transgender issues. And then Jesus quotes from Genesis chapter 2 about the original ordination of marriage by God. Marriage is to be permanent. Marriage is a bond created by God. It's the creative act by the Creator between two people, and it's inseparable except by death. That's why God hates sexual infidelity. That's why God hates divorce. That's why God often uses sexual unfaithfulness as a metaphor for the spiritual unfaithfulness of his own people. Nobody comes out of marriage by separation and divorce without bearing deep wounds and scars. We all know that. Back in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus had already stated his position. Do you remember when we studied that together in Matthew chapter 5? In Matthew 5, the Lord Jesus said this, starting at verse 31. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. That's a quote from Deuteronomy 24 from the Torah. But I tell you, so notice it has been said is the one position, but he's contrasting that by saying, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress, and anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. divorce and remarriage were to be under very tight, strict conditions. And the Lord Jesus said that otherwise it is sin. But now, back to Matthew 19. Notice how Jesus next comes down opposite the liberal progressive position again. He did that back in Matthew 5. He does it here in Matthew 19. But it hinges on something interesting. The Pharisees asserted that Moses commanded divorce. Jesus corrects them. Moses permitted divorce. And he did so under the authority of God because their hearts were hard and to protect women from becoming persona non grata, a person without legal status. The certificate of divorce permitted her to remarry without fear of legal retribution by her former husband. The certificate of divorce demonstrated that she was no longer married. Divorce in our day is a long, drawn-out, and expensive legal process. We all know that divorce consumes loads of time and resources. But in Old Testament days, and in the time of the Lord Jesus, it was a certificate issued by the husband, possibly requiring the signature of a rabbi, but it was just one and done. The certificate was written up, it was signed, and the divorce was finalized. But the law of Moses said a husband could not change his mind and try to take his wife back. Once divorced, their marriage was over, forever. And in that way, he was to be very serious, very sure, before going down that road. Notice verse 7. Why then, they asked, so they're asking the Lord Jesus, why then, they asked, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Verse 8. Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, and marries another woman, commits adultery. The word unfaithfulness that's used here in the text I'm reading from is the Greek word porneia, from which we get our English word pornography. Notice in our text that the disciples of the Lord Jesus are the next to speak, and they got the seriousness of this pronouncement. Verse 10, the disciples said to him, if this is the situation between a husband and wife, it is better not to marry. And this brings up an important teaching by the Lord Jesus on the issue of singleness. A eunuch was a man or a boy, usually a slave man or a slave boy, who was castrated and given tasks, including serving in the harem of the king. Notice what the Lord Jesus says in verse 11 and 12. Jesus replied, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For some are eunuchs because they were born that way, others were made that way by men, that's what I was just referring to, and others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus concludes verse 12 with this, the one who can accept this should accept it. The Lord Jesus is saying that some people have chosen to remain single and sexually inactive because of the kingdom of heaven, because of their desire to serve him. Those who chose never to marry, or those who have, against their will, been divorced by their spouse and have then chosen to remain single thereafter to the glory of God. Those people are deserving of our respect and our honor. It's easy for us, particularly those of us from spiritually conservative backgrounds, to be very judgmental on the issue of marriage breakup and divorce. We all need to be reminded that all sin offends God, and all of us are guilty of sin. But it also includes the sin of divorce. In the Old Testament, God makes his position clear. He is opposed to any attitude that is less than full-out commitment to marriage until death. God hates the casual attitudes of our culture about sexuality, distortions of his created plan, and our 21st century cavalier insolence toward marriage. The NIV translates Malachi 2:16 as the Lord saying this, I hate divorce. And even with our mistakes of the past, may we as Christ followers adopt the thinking of the Lord Jesus as the basic principle for our marriages and for those of our children. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So, they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate.